And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. That which, while I'm reading scripture, becomes bold and I go, ooh, that's kind of cool. I like that. The title of our DDD today is Our Response System. Did you know you have a response system? Maybe you didn't know that. I'm telling you right now. Also, what does it mean to be too much for me? Too much for me. It's probably not food, because that's probably not a category that I'm going to have a too much in. Also, what do I do? That's a question I ask every single day. I hope you do as well. And finally, we'll close out the hour with our partnership place.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And prevailing is better than not prevailing. Politics have been put to the side because I need a break, and I think you do too. Entertainment usually is put to the side because that's just not very entertaining. And current events, that will stay on top of. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It is just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to go in your direction. Don't forget, KPRZ.com, great place to get the different events that are taking place in the community. Plus, you have access to the ministries that take place throughout the day. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on our rotation. All of those ministries have access points. We have that through our website. Plus, in addition to, on top of that, if you go to the KPRZ Facebook page, you will find out that there are some inspirational sayings, scriptures, connections to events, different comments, different things that people have going on. It's always good to have a connection to that. We do not, and we have, they have said this in the past, but we've tried to make that correction in this. We do not want KPRZ to be your church. We want you to go to church. We want you to have fellowship. We want you to be connected to people. But we love the idea of supporting the local church, coming behind the church, and being a supplement to help when we're able to. And so in the ways that we can help local churches and the way that we can help you and the way that we can help the body as a corporate body, we will do our best to do so. That's not always perfect, as you no doubt have witnessed over the last 20-plus years, but we're doing the best we know to do, just like you are. All right, let's get into our first portion of our devotional diamond of the day. It's called Our Response System. I want to pull this out of Judges chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites together." Ooh. This is Gideon being tasked with something that the Lord wants him to do. And God asks him, "Hey, why don't you go take care of this?" And Gideon, I don't think Gideon's response, you know, I've heard it taught, I guess, both ways. I'm not sure that this response is it's not an evil response. It's a, "Gosh, I'm not anybody. What am I supposed to do?" I think that is not uncommon for the Lord to ask us to do things in the framework of ministry. And a lot of us go, "Who am I?" I mean, I talk to my brother on a regular basis. The Lord has blessed him with ministry in places he never anticipated. One of the things he says to me in almost every conversation is, I can't believe the Lord's even using me." I think that's an honest response. I think, you know, Gideon is like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And you know what the Lord's response is? "Hey, you know what? I'm going to do this with you." Now, therein lies the difference in everything that we go through, in every encounter, no matter how little the task. Remember, God gives you your breath. No matter how big the task, even if it requires a miracle, like a nation going across waters that would normally wipe them out. It doesn't matter if it's small or big. It doesn't matter what size it's at. If you have a partnership with God, you are gold. If it is God and you, you have the majority. I actually had a Calvary Chapel pastor out of New Mexico, and him and I were discussing church life and church living, and he goes, "God in one." That's a great line, because it doesn't, if it's God in one, that's it. That's the majority, because once God is in the picture, it's over. I mean, that is just, wow. And so when Gideon says, "You know, my clan's the weakest and I'm the least," the Lord's like, "I will be with you." Like, case closed. The case just closed right there, because God, you're going to be with Gideon. That's it. It's over for them. Now, here's the toughy part. How do I respond to God when things are going bad? Not that the partnership is over, but my evaluation of what's bad. How am I doing? How do I typically respond? You want to know how I respond more truthful than non? I complain. I'm super good at it. I think I can do it in 30 languages. I'm positive I can do it in spiritual languages, zero question. In fact, I think I can do it with my eyes and my cheeks, and I can separate them. That's how good I am. I complain because most of the time, and the fact of the matter is probably true for you, most of the time, I do not understand what is going on. Make me go through this trial. Talk to that person. Believe that you're going to provide that. I can go on and on. There is nobody out there listening that is like going, "I have no idea what he's talking about." Yes, you do. Of course you do. Because when things are going bad, we will typically complain. Now, ironically, eventually, being Christians, being believers, we will ultimately seek God's help again. But there's a little bit of process to get there for some of us. Now, my other issue is, this just happened, how do we respond when things are going good? Because you don't complain when things are going good, right? It's not the time to complain, right? Unfortunately, I don't think I have much of a response when things are going good, because you want to know why? They're going good. If I say anything about it, it might not keep going good, and I don't want that to happen, so I just say nothing, because then I can ride it as long as I can. Oh, you do it too. Who are you kidding? But the deal is, when we do that, it's not that we're directly forgetting God, but we are indirectly discrediting God. At no point are you doing fantastic apart from God ever. Now, before you sit there and say, oh, what about all those people that don't believe? Have you read Psalm 73? I'm just asking, because if you haven't, then that's your fault that you haven't read that. And the whole psalm and the whole setup on the psalm, the first 16 verses is how all the ungodly get away with this. Nothing ever hurts them. Everything seems to go great. Whatever they touch turns to gold. Everything's fantastic. Until the author says, until I went into the house of God, and then I saw their end. And you know what their end was? Eternal destruction. And then I realized I'm stupid and I should be quiet. That is what the psalmist concluded. Guess what? Really? What we need to do is just do a little bit better job of being effectively acknowledging that the process is in the hands of God, not complaining, but giving thanks, and recognizing that when God makes a commitment, he's with us. That's it. Drop it. Look it. Are you a Bible believer or not? Yes or no? Just answer the question and move on. You either are or you aren't. Well, I don't feel like, I don't care what you're feeling. Are you a Bible believer or not? When we come back as a Bible believer, I'm going to tell you another part about this you're going to like even less. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stop that boy. Don't let him go. Just stop that boy. Don't let him go. But I feel like breaking out. Having some good times. Breaking out. Living some.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
And God sent three women. Three women walked over to me and said, can we pray for you?
Damas Celebarius on Focus on the Family Minute, remembering a moment when God used others to reach him.
And I said, why not? Nothing else is. But I didn't know what I was getting into. They started to pray for me. I felt the power of God. I remember I got up at that moment. I felt such a peace like never before. I mean, this incredible peace. I took all the crack out of my pocket. I started dumping it in the garbage. I looked up to heaven. I said, God, I'm never going to sell crack again.
God wants to redeem every life, even that of a drug dealer. Hear more from Damas today at FamilyMinute.org.
1 leader told me recently that pastors should only, quote, preach Jesus, end of quote. I have a couple questions to ask him. This is Jim Garlow. Are you suggesting William Wilberforce, who gave so much fighting slavery, was wrong? Are you telling me Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who laid down his life for truth during World War II in Germany, was wrong? If the Bible really does have answers, why be afraid to speak out on these issues? In an attempt to remain neutral, pastors who are afraid they might be identified with a political party stay silent on critical social issues. We're not beholden to any political party, but that shouldn't keep us from speaking out strongly, biblically, on the issues, and working and voting for candidates that deserve our support. Our hope is not in a political party. It is in God and His truths. Be well-versed at jimgarlow.com. Live out your faith. This is Jim Garlow.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget, if you've gone through a pretty tough time and you can't figure out why has the Lord allowed me to go through this much drama and trauma, I encourage you to go to HisAppointment.com. It is a book I wrote about going through drama and trauma. Well, you're just making money. I'm $4,995 from making a dime. I'm not making it. No. But we have helped hundreds and hundreds of people, and that is awesome, no matter what. But yes, I'm ready to get off. All right, so here is, of course, so here is the next segment. We're talking about Gideon and engaging with God and understanding that if God is with us, there's nothing that's too powerful or that can overcome us. However, we are not always aware of the way that God looks at things. And I feel that this particular text could be one of the all-time cool, champion cool texts of all time. Ready? I'm going to read you Judges chapter 7. I want you to follow this story. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped in the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the very near hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave." So 22,000 men left and 10,000 remained. I just want you to catch this, okay? Yeah, I know it's a really big math problem here, but there are 32,000 men that God has ready to fight against the Midianites. Do you know how many the Midianites had? 135,000. So this war was going to be, you must listen to me. This war was going to be 32,000 versus 135,000. You're already looking at a 1-5. But the Lord is looking at the situation and goes, yeah, you know, you got too many people. And you see these 32,000? It's too many, too many. You got to get rid of them. 22,000 people left, over two-thirds of the resources that Gideon had walked out. I'm just going to, so you want me to help you in this, really hit this home? Okay, two-thirds of your checking account just went bye-bye. Uh-oh, now it's real. Wait, that's nothing. That is nothing. Look at what the Lord does. But the Lord said to Gideon, who's got 10,000 men left, there are still too many. There's still too many. We had 32,000. Now we got 10,000. There's still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them there for you.
If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. If I say this one shall not go, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told them, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down and drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths, which means they didn't lap it like a dog. All the rest get down on their knees to drink. So 9,700 guys get to the water and start drinking it like Levi would. Okay? There's 300 that put their hand to the water, put their hand to their face, hand to the water, hand to the face. You know, dignified, not on all fours. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. Now, I'm going to ask you to follow scripture, Bible believer. There are 32,000 men going to face 135,000. Now there are 301. And they are supposed to face 135,000. At what point do you think you and I would start complaining? I think I would have complained when the Lord said, you got 32,000, that's too many. I would have said, what do you mean that's too many? We don't have enough. Then when the Lord took me down to 10, I would have said, are you nuts? And then if he had taken me down to 301, I would have said, you've lost your crackers. I mean, you're going to be kidding me. 301 guys against 135,000. And you know what's the worst part about this? This thing is so far out of hand. This is not just off. This is so far out of hand that you just, if you look at it, you want to throw up. It's like, are you kidding? And that's why this part's titled Too Much for Me. Are you kidding? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29 say, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that nobody may boast before him. There would be no boasting when you have 301 men fighting 135,000. What's funnier is the world cannot possibly believe it. Oh, that didn't happen. Well, that just shows you're not a Bible believer and you don't really believe in God. I understand, and I'm really sorry God didn't choose you. But I am chosen, and I'm going to believe. I just look at it and think, I'm glad I'm not Gideon. Because if you look at this as a checking account, which is the only way people can illustrate and understand some things, you have $32,000 in the bank, and now you have 301. Look, that's a huge drop, isn't it? That's too much for any other person to see. But you see, nobody gets to glory in the Lord's presence. Nobody gets to do something and then take credit. And even those that try to take credit, including Satan, will be nullified as God is justified in every possible capacity. And when the world mocks and laughs, let them. Because you know what? I've read the end of that psalm. I've read the middle and the end of Psalm 73. It ain't going to be pretty for them. It'll be pretty for us. It's just not going to be pretty for them. Oh, you should feel worse. Feel worse? I'm trying to get through this world fighting Satan, the world, and my flesh. I'm feeling bad enough already. I'm not going to take on some kind of unholy debt. No way. Look, I look at this thing and I think the situation is so far out of hand. So far out of hand. That only the most miraculous thing in the universe could change it. Well, when we come back, we're going to examine that concept that only a miracle
could change the situation. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hello, this is Dale Hendry. I'm the general manager here for Salem Media Group in San Diego, and Hurricane Harvey has hit home for me. I'm a native Houstonian, born and raised in the Houston, Texas area my whole life. My family, my friends, my nieces, my nephews are there, and my phone is blown up all weekend long. I'm coming to you today as a Houstonian and asking all of our fellow San Diegans to step forward and make an effort for all the relief effort that's going on. We've partnered with Save the Children, and Save the Children is on the ground in Houston, Texas right now, and they're able to get all the right type of supplies for families forced to evacuate. So you can go right now to kprz.com, and your $50 donation goes right to Save the Children, and it'll be impacted today. Don't sit at home, watch television, and eat popcorn. Get active and help today.
Have you seen someone who is destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
God allows all things to happen for our good.
Billy Graham.
Do you mean that God is in everything that comes to me? Yes. Nothing ever happens except by the permissive will of God. He has planned that we have trials, problems, disappointments, and difficulties. These are to drive us to Him.
It may seem like if God's allowed bad things to happen, He must not love you. But He does love you and wants you to completely trust in Him.
Trust and believe that which has happened is for your own good. Bend to the will of God. Repent of your sins. Right now you can do it. And receive Christ into your heart. And all things can work for you to good if you are God's child. And you can become God's child at this moment.
Are you ready to make the decision to receive Christ into your heart? We can walk you through it at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Let's see. Don't forget about crazyprice.com. You get great discounts there for foods and services and products. What is it? Products and services? Services and products? Whatever. You can get discounts. That's the key component there is money off. That's the good part about it. I don't know if I mentioned this or not. Not something that really you have to be worried about or concerned about in any capacity because it has to do with me. I ordered a movie online. Did I tell you about this? I ordered a movie online. I thought I was the first one to get it. I was super excited. Super, super excited. I opened up. It was the wrong movie. Took it back. And they were like, oh, this is going to fly off the shelf. I'm like, yeah, but it's not going to fly off the shelf into my television because it's the wrong format. Anyhow, that's the kind of thing that you go through, and you can go there and be really mean about it or just say, hey, somebody made a mistake. I don't know if you're one of those people that recognize that or not, but some people do make mistakes. What? They can't make a mistake. They're a Christian. See, the hardest person to forgive is who? The people closest to you. Why? Because you expect the most from them. Stop that. They're the ones that are supposed to get the most grace and mercy. Not the guy driving down the road who's texting and cuts you off. Even though you give him grace and mercy more than you give your relatives. Oh, goodness gracious. We've got a long way to go for this Jesus thing. Let's go back to what we were talking about. We were talking about us and partnership with God and understanding when things go well. We don't really say a whole bunch. When things don't go well, we are very well versed in complaining. I think we do a pretty good job. And then every once in a while, we get into a situation where we think we know how it's supposed to look or how it's supposed to go. And God looks at it and goes, yeah, we're going to rearrange this picture, not to our liking. Sometimes the Lord does rearranging to such a level that it becomes too much for you and I. In Gideon's case, he had 32,000 soldiers, and by the time God was ready to use him to fight the Midianites, Gideon had 301, including himself. So you had 301 people going against 135,000 people, and what would historians or non-believers say? They would say, impossible. They would say, never happened. We would say, you're obviously not a Bible believer. You have a chance to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and become a Christian. And when they say, I reject Jesus Christ, you just say, I'm sorry, God didn't choose you, and move on. So here is the next little character in this kind of killer situation. Here's what it is. God allowed and orchestrated. You know how we say God allowed that to happen? Is that one of our favorite lines? Well, God, he allowed that to happen. And then we come back with this line. Tell me if you've ever heard this line. But he'll never let you go through more than you can handle. I'm really glad that you said that, but that's not biblical. In fact, many times God forces you to go through something you cannot possibly handle. I'm not talking about temptation. That is the one area where God says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. But it does not say anything about trials, situations, or anything else. And here you got 301 people against 135,000 people. And here's the big kick. It's God's plan all along to make the situation impossible. You just gotta, what? It's God's plan all along for us to go, what? What? The whole time the Lord is setting the whole thing up and you're thinking, wait, what? Remember, 32,000 against 135,000? You never know. 301 people against 135,000? No chance. Exactly. The Lord wanted it so that there was no way that it could be anything less than a miracle that would get them out of that situation. Well, God does that to you, too. Oh, you know he does. So, you want a scripture? Good. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Ever feel that way? I have. Indeed, in our own hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Here's a passage that you want to emblazon on your forehead and then wear a hat. You see, if Paul is saying we were under such great pressure, I think spiritually they were probably under great pressure, physically probably under great
pressure, even to the point that they were like, I just can't go anymore. You ever, you know, I can't do it anymore. I can't put up with it anymore. I can't endure anymore. I'm just at the end. I can't, this is it. I've given everything I've got. I've got nothing left. He says, indeed, verse 9, indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but. Every time you see the word but, just remember in the dictionary, it means on the other hand. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Watch the definition. Who raises the dead. See, God is capable of resurrecting the dead. So that puts God in the category of he can do anything. And the things that we go through are to enable us to walk away from us and to rely on him. And then Paul has this, you know, statement of faith. He has delivered us. He's delivering us. And we believe he will yet deliver us, which means that he's done it in the past, he's doing it in the present, he's going to do it in the future, which tells you that you're going to go through things that are absolutely impossible for you to handle, so that you understand that that partnership with God is alive and active, and you're fully dependent on God. That's, there it is. Okay, got it. You know, the question comes, what is it that we do? In the next lesson, and we get there in a second, but in the lesson, I'm going to say, what do we do when that happens? We'll deal with that in just a second. But I want you to grasp, I think, the magnitude of Gideon's situation, and then stop thinking that you're so far away from Gideon. You're not that far away from Gideon. You're certainly not that far away from the Apostle Paul when he's like, gosh, I feel like the sentence of death. But what's the solution? Not to rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead, which means God can do anything, which means it doesn't matter how bizarre, weird, unique, or ununderstanding you are of your circumstance, God has the capacity to rearrange and change as he desires. So if you just think that through, it'll set you kind of in a better mindset. Because the Lord changes the situation. So it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. If you don't think that 301 people versus 135,000 is ridiculous, there's something wrong with you. That is ridiculous. God set it up that way. You know, there's this haunting portion in Scripture. When I say haunting, I don't mean that as an actual haunting, but there's this thing in Scripture, it drives a lot of people batty, and so they kind of ignore it, or they try to ignore it. But when the Lord's talking about something that's going on, it's in the book of Isaiah. The Lord goes, it's me. It's so bad. It's like it's this disaster, and this thing's happening, and this is like, what a mess, and da-da-da-da. And right there in Isaiah through the prophet Isaiah goes, it's me. Going, why is that you? Why are you doing that? So that you don't rely on yourself. You got to rely on him. You know all the scriptures that go along with that. Now it would just take a miracle. Yes, it will. You're right about that. You got that one down. It's all the other stuff you don't get down. That one you got. It'll take a miracle. Wow. All right, now the challenge is how we engage recognizing this is going to take a miracle. So we have to be somewhere in that process. When I come back, I'm just going to very briefly hit on the high points on where we need to be. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. Be right back. I'll find the freedom from my shame.
Forgive my sin. Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
I'm getting used to change as an opportunity. I'm Cheryl Giesbrecht with Transform Through Truth. In the past 3 years, I've had more change than in the past 20 years. Last year, right before my wedding, my husband sold his family home of 32 years, and we bought a home together. Within the next 3 months, we got married. I moved into our house and then moved from my family home of 26 years. We'd been married for only 4 weeks when my new husband went to the ER with heart problems and was diagnosed with AFib type 2. Then 6 weeks later, my father died suddenly. Some of these changes have been positive, but they've still been the means for me to have to make adjustments, which cause stress. I love what Joyce Meyer says. Change is necessary. It's a part of life. Most of us would say we want change, but we can't keep doing the things the way we've always done them and hope or expect to get a different result. Things in your life will change when you change your mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We renew our mind with the Word of God. It is living and active and has the power to change us. Will you change your mind about change? Stop and think about what you've been thinking about. All things are possible with God, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Be bold and tell God, "I want you to change me. I want you to use me to change anything in the world that you want to use me for."
Thanks for joining author and speaker Cheryl Giesbrecht for Transform Through Truth. Do you need prayer or free resources? Or would you like to order Cheryl Giesbrecht's new devotional book, Experiencing God Through His Names? Then go to FromAshesToBeauty.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hope you're doing well. Pray for you as an audience. Every day, I'm not spending 16 or 17 hours a day praying. I just mentioned you in prayer. I hope the Lord blesses you, not just through us, but in whatever you're engaged with. We have been discussing our partnership with God. We have been looking at that through the eyes of Gideon's life, a fantastic journey of faith, which one can really appreciate the position he started off with. Who am I? How am I going to do this? The Lord's response, doesn't matter. I'm with you. Don't worry about it. We'll get it done. And then he's in his situation. He's going to fight the Midianites. There's 135,000 of them. He has 32,000 soldiers besides himself. God cuts it down from 32,000 to 301. I think, I'm not great in the math on this, but if you take 32,000, you take 10% of that, it'd be 3,200, if I'm right. And then if you take, 10% of that, it'd be 320. I think that's right. And so 1% would be 320, 10% would be 3,200, and 32,000 would be the full percent. So that means then less than 1% of the army that he started with is what he's working with. And God just said, "All right, now we're ready, because you can, no way you can boast about this." I think there's many of us that think that the situation the Lord has brought us into, there's no way that we can boast about it. The only thing that will get us out of it is a miracle. That's exactly how God designs it. If you really need help to understand that, the scripture to spend time studying is the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Just spend time in it. Just read it. Meditate on it. Think about it. that all the things that Paul was going through, he was like, ugh, I feel like blah. Sentence of death. But this happened, he writes, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. The reason that these things happen are not quickly known unless we're operating in faith. That God lets the most unbelievable circumstance unfold and sometimes creates it himself. So we just make sure that we rely on him and not on us. So there are two major positions to take. One is going to be self-explanatory. One's a little bit more unique that Gideon holds onto while God is the one who has to do this fighting. You understand that no matter what Gideon and his 300 guys are going to do, God is going to have to do this. So what is it that Gideon does that is more unique or different that enables him to kind of, you know, persevere or to push through? This comes out of Judges chapter 7, verse 15. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, and the dream was about him prevailing, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midian camp into your hands." As Gideon engaged in a dream, and finding out that the interpretation of the dream that somebody had was him prevailing, he worshiped God. When Gideon realized, I can't do this, God's going to have to do this, this is beyond me, and he heard somebody in the Midian camp give a dream and the interpretation, which was Gideon prevailing, what did he? He worshiped God. He didn't even have the victory yet. There was no victory yet. There was just going to be a victory. So he worshiped God before the victory. He didn't wait till the victory was over. It's true that there was a prophetic dream. He heard the interpretation. That's fantastic. But it didn't happen yet. What did he do? He worshiped God. What is the one thing you and I need to do when we're going through the most unbelievable things, and it just seems like it's way beyond us, and it doesn't matter, and it's going to take a miracle to get us through, and we don't know what we're going to do? Well, here's what you do. You worship God. That's what you do. You worship the Lord because he's made a promise. And in that promise, he will get you through. Even if you don't understand how. That's why it takes a miracle, because you don't understand how. So the first thing that Gideon does, before it all goes down, he worships the Lord. When you're in your situation and it's horrible, it's only horrible from your perspective. Worship the Lord. And then the second thing that happens, it comes out of Judges chapter 7, verse 21. And it says this, while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. The first thing that Gideon shows us to do is to worship the Lord. The second thing he shows us to do is to hold our position, stand in faith. You know, I haven't said this too often, but I'll say it here. Be a bulldog. Be committed. Trust what God has said and what God has promised. Be tenacious. Do not move one iota, not one inch. Stand firm in your faith. You know how many times it says that in Scripture? Stand there. And after you've done everything else, just stand there. So our job, while God is doing the miraculous, is to worship and to hold stern, hold strongly our faith. Not going to move. Not moving. The Lord's going to deliver me. I know there's a lot of jokes that go with that, da, 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 but you know what? Sometimes you just worship the Lord and go, it's all yours. You let me know whatever I got to do. I'm right here. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need you to do anything. He just wants you to be in a position of honoring and worshiping and acknowledging him and to stand firm in your faith. The men held their position. That's what you do. Hold your position. Be a bulldog. Why? Because if God is for us, who can be against us, and who cares? That's why. We worship, we stand firm in the faith, and we watch the deliverance of the Lord. How fantastic is that? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.